Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, joined as always by my good pal, Tyler O, and today we've got a bit of a fun episode. We have been hard at work grinding out content this offseason over at FTNFantasy.com, and the two recent articles that you and I have come out with actually coincide pretty well together. Something that I did recently was going through and looking at the biggest roster holes that still exist around the NFL post-free agency. We've seen a bunch of signings and trades take place, but there are still things that need to be filled, and you very recently came out with a first-round NFL mock draft that has some solutions to these existing roster problems. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to just put these two things together, talk through some of these big roster question marks, and see if Tyler has any solutions coming from the 2026 NFL draft class. But before we get into that, Tyler, is there anything that you want to say about the mock draft or just anything that you have going on? Just, you know, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. It feels great. If you're listening to this right now, it means we're less than a month away from the NFL draft, which is great. Free agency has came and went. There's one major event where teams can plug these holes and fill these needs. Obviously, they can trade, but you know, those are rare and few far between. A lot of times people want to make a trade and it just doesn't happen. So yeah. Realistically, this is like the last chance for teams to really plug holes, fill those needs. And we're excited to kind of see how things go down. Free agency is fun because it's an NFL event, but it also gives us some answers to what teams are going to be doing in the NFL draft to an extent. So about putting the pieces together when the draft ends, rookie draft start, we're looking ahead to the season. Just thrilled to be here. Excited to kind of break this down. A lot to look forward to.
Absolutely. So many things that we have to go over. We've got some teams that could use some pass catchers. We've got some teams that could use some running back help. We'll definitely talk about both things. But for the first half of the episode, I want to focus on the pass catchers and start with a team that has a huge glaring issue on their roster, and that is the Miami Dolphins. I think maybe we talked about it a little bit last week. I'm not entirely sure, but unless you're living under a rock, you have probably found out that Jaylen Waddle has been shipped off to the Denver Broncos. This comes on the heels of Tyreek Hill being released by this team earlier this offseason. And now we look at the roster and I don't know who Malik Willis is supposed to throw to. It's not a very good situation as of right now. They did bring in veterans Tutu Atwell and Jalen Tolbert. They also have Malik Washington, a good young player who's been, you know, fantasy relevant a handful of times, but nothing major. I have a hard time believing that the most interesting pass catcher on this team for fantasy in 2026 is on the roster currently. I don't have any interest really in those names that we mentioned, but Tyler, my question to you, is this a roster hole that has a solution through the NFL draft?
It's an interesting one because, yes, the answer is yes. And the Dolphins are an interesting spot here because they pick at number 11, and then they again pick at number 30 here. So they have two picks in the first round, presumably an opportunity to take a wide receiver with one of those picks. 11 probably screams to a lot of people as like, hey, this is going to make some sense. But there's a lot of really good defensive players in that kind of top 11. And I think they're going to end up going to the defensive side of the ball to start off the draft at that 11 spot. I look at this team on the defensive side. There's just some need. I think a corner is likely going to be the direction they go. I like the corner talent a little bit more at 11, unless we get a couple wide receivers that fall. But overall, for me, probably slating a wide receiver there at the 30 pick. Actually, in my mock draft, I ended up getting Casey Concepcion, wide receiver, Texas A&M. Got him mocked. You know, he's kind of a fringy first-round wide receiver, but I do think the need is there, and the Dolphins could take him. The whole way, like we've talked about the fact that they need somebody. He's one of those guys where I think they need to pull the trigger. You know, he broke out as a true freshman at NC State. Was a first-team All-American at Texas A&M, dangerous after the catch. I think a lot of what he does translate immediately to the NFL. Do I think he's a locked and loaded alpha wide receiver one? No, I'm not there, but in this room with the wide receivers, he's easily going to play a role where I think he could elevate and become a real fantasy asset as a rookie, just based out of the fact that the ball has to go somewhere. So that was where I mocked him. There's probably, I think, four wide receivers I had taken ahead of him. The reason I didn't go at 11 wide receivers, there was a couple wide receivers that went above 11. We can talk about that later, but I have a tough time seeing the Dolphins walk away with no wide receiver with one of their two first round picks. I just think they're going to end up attacking that corner, that secondary, with that first one at 11, and then end up grabbing that wide receiver at 30. And for my mock, Casey Concepcion.
I think it makes a lot of sense, and I think you're looking at it from the right perspective, particularly as new head coach Jeff Hafley coming over from the Green Bay Packers is a defensive guy. He was a defensive coordinator. Being able to establish that identity on that side of the ball with his first pick does make a lot of sense. And because of the depth of this wide receiver class, you can get a guy like Casey Concepcion probably later in the first round. I think going about it from that perspective would be very smart on their part, and I like the choices you've made. Plus, could you imagine the speed of Concepcion mixed with how fast Devin Achane is, mixed with how fast Malik Willis is? I mean, it's a track star type team we're talking about with a fit like that. So I'm a big fan. Agree with you that it would be pretty cool if they went about it that way. But they are not the only team that has some pass catching needs. The Cleveland Browns are another team that, I mean, this has kind of been a problem for a long time. It's not something that they have figured out really at any point in the last several years. All due respect in the world to Jerry Jeudy. We'll see what he can become in this new Todd Monken offense. But they could use some youth. They could use somebody that can really establish themselves as a top of the depth chart, no doubt, alpha type guy. Is this going to be something that they opt to do with their early pick within the top 10 of the NFL draft? Or is this maybe something that they're going to do a little bit later on? What is your perspective? And do you have a roster solution for this one?
Yeah, just like the Dolphins, they got two picks in the first. Number six, the Browns are picking there, and they pick again at 24. Now, if they're sitting there at six, likely, at least in my opinion, you're going to have Mendoza, Styles, and three edge rushers off the board. You could argue Love. We can get to that later. But either way, what I'm getting at here is you have your pick of wide receiver talent or offensive line talent. And to me, that is what the Browns need to be attacking in this draft. All right. I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback, right? But one thing is for sure is that they need to fortify this offensive line and they need to add weapons to it. There's a lot of work that needs to happen on the offensive side of the ball. So for me, at six, you ask yourself, is it wide receiver? Is it offensive tackle? Pick of the litter. What do you do? I look at the talent in this draft, and there is a lot more offensive line talent that you can grab in the back half than wide receiver talent. Now, you can get solid offensive tackles at the end of the draft, but, you know, you're taking a wide receiver, and no disrespect to Casey Concepcion, but, like, in my opinion, it doesn't profile necessarily as an alpha guy, right? So for me, you want to take an alpha guy with this number six pick. Now, this is where it gets interesting, Herms. In my opinion, Jordan Tyson is the wide receiver one in this class. That's where I stand. But that in the mock draft, I'm not necessarily mocking players that I think are the best. I'm mocking where these guys are going to go. So I actually, at number six, have Carnell Tate, wide receiver, Ohio State, going to the Cleveland Browns at number six. Ooh. Is the first wide receiver off the board. Okay. From what I'm hearing, the drum beats, I feel like this is what the NFL is moving towards, is him being the wide receiver one overall. It doesn't feel great for me personally, as I think, you know, at least in my opinion, he's not the best wide receiver in this class, but it's an NFL mock. The Browns need a receiver. I think the NFL values him here. He's efficient, good route runner. I think he's one of those guys that you can plug and play. And do I think he's got the ceiling to be a wide receiver one? I don't know. I mean, like, kind of like how Olave is a wide receiver one in some ways, not to take, you know, scout the helmet approach here. But for me, I got Carnell Tate going to the Browns at six. I think they absolutely take a wide receiver here. Whoever their favorite wide receiver is who they take at six. I think it's Carnell Tate, but I would lock in that it's a wide receiver here.
Well, and to your point, there's a lot of debate as to who the number one receiver in this class is. I know depending on who you ask, you could get a bunch of different answers. I know personally for me, I have been on the Mekhi Lemon train. I think he's very fun, but, you know, he's a different type of receiver than, you know, somebody like a Carnell Tate, who I think would fit pretty well in this offense. I know that there are some people also who were turned off by the 40 time at the combine and thinking like, oh, he's slow. He must be terrible. Like, speed is not really a huge part of his game, or at least it's not so much of a thing that his lack of 40 speed discounts all of the other wonderful traits that he brings to the table. I think he is going to be a solid contributor wherever he lands. I think Cleveland would be very fun. I think it would be a good fit there. Before we transition into our commercial break, are there any other pass catchers that you had that landed in some interesting spots in your mock draft that you want to highlight for people? Any sort of, you know, roster holes in the pass catching department that didn't highlight? Floor is yours.
You know, roster holes. I mean, I think there's the two teams that are coming to mind here. I'm pretty sure we're going to cover on the other side of the break, so I don't want to necessarily spoil anything. But I think one of the ones that I thought about long and hard, and it's not even a roster hole, but I mean, like, let's talk about it, is I actually put Jordan Tyson, number 13, to the Los Angeles Rams. I think for me, they need to continue to build around Stafford as he's in his twilight years. Now, I know there's conversation around Stafford being or hitting retirement, but nothing about his play last year made me think his play was declining at all, right? He was MVP football he was playing. And Devontae Adams, well, I think he's still got some left in the tank. It's clear he's aging at least a little bit. Still killing it in the end zone, don't get me wrong. But I think at this point in time, you know, you have Corm, you have Kyren. You know, Puka's around, he's doing well, but man, I don't think they're looking at Devontae Adams as like a longer term 2-3 year thing here. And I think as more of a kind of a dark horse candidate, I think the Rams are in a spot to take a wide receiver there at 13, and it might surprise some people. So I think he's the most talented wide receiver in this class. You know, McVay's kind of guy that will bet on upside. Yeah, the injury is injury concerns there, but I think it just, there's a lot of upside. Stafford throwing to Tyson, Devontae Adams, and Puka, and that's the kind of offense you need to roll out there if you're trying to win a Super Bowl.
Oh, for sure. I think being able to build toward the future of this franchise, makes a ton of sense. I think there's also a lot of people who are thinking maybe this could be a Ty Simpson landing spot. We'll have to see about that. Maybe we could get into that on the other side of the break. But if they end up with Tyson, that would be a very scary wide receiver room. And then just another one of yours that I want to highlight before we take our break. I thought Kenyon Sadiq landing with the Carolina Panthers at 19 was kind of an interesting one. Obviously not a receiver, but still a pass catcher, a guy who's going to do a lot in the receiving game. Dude, defenses having to account for him and Tet McMillan, what a nightmare. That would be game-changing stuff down there in the NFC South. But we have a lot more to talk about on the other side of our commercial break. We've got some backfields that have some needs, and we'll get into them right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Yo, 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 how's it hanging? CH Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes podcast here to ask you a question. Have you wanted to get in on some NFL action, but don't live in a state that has a sports book? Well, we have great news. Our newest partner, Novig, is America's number one sports prediction market, offering better odds than sports books in over 35 states. If you're looking to tail some of our plays for the NFL playoffs and all sorts of other sports, new players on Novig can get a free month of an FTN GOAT subscription when they sign up and use promo code FTN with their first purchase. Plus, you'll get 50% off your first purchase up to $25 in Novig cash. All you gotta do is download the Novig app, enter code FTN before making your first purchase of $50 or less, and the discount will automatically apply. Also, your promo code for that free month of an FTN GOAT tier will be in your email inbox before you know it. What a deal! We look forward to having you play on Novig with us this year. Be sure to check it out and use that promo code FTN.
And welcome back to the Crossing Routes podcast, still fueled by FTN Fantasy. I'm still Herms. He is still Tyler O. And we are still going over some of the biggest roster holes around the NFL and trying to find some solutions, perhaps through the 2026 NFL draft. Fun little exercise we've got going on. We talked about pass catchers. Now we're going to get into teams that are going to be looking for guys to run the football. And we'll start with, I think, the biggest roster hole that exists in terms of its fantasy relevance, or at least its potential fantasy relevance. Seattle is not in an enviable position whatsoever. You lose Ken Walker. Zach Charbonnet is still going to have to take a lot of time to recover from tearing his ACL in the Super Bowl run. As of this writing, the current solution is former Packers backup Emmanuel Wilson. They signed him to a pretty cheap one-year deal worth up to $2.1 million. Nothing crazy. He has some things that look pretty good in his metric profile. If you just go over to our NFL Stats Hub, I found a couple things. It's in the article. I wanted to give him a little bit of credit, but he's not really somebody that I think fantasy managers are going to be stoked to draft. I don't think anybody is looking at Emmanuel Wilson perhaps as the long-term RB one here on this team. Wouldn't shock me if they take somebody in the draft. Is there a particular running back that you have Seattle taking that would be a good fit and probably somebody that we're all going to be looking in the draft this year?
Yeah, I mean, I have this right now being mocked Jadarian Price, running back Notre Dame, number 32 to the Seahawks. Now, I'm not mocking trades. Now, what I think happens here is if Ty Simpson falls, somebody's going to trade up to 32 to take Ty Simpson to lock in that fifth-year option, and then the Seahawks will just take Jadarian Price or another running back at the top of the second round. So for me, that's where I put him. I don't, you know, I would open myself up to a debate. Is Jadarian Price the running back two in this class? I think I'm not necessarily locked in either way, but I do think the NFL does think this, and to me, the Seahawks need to address this situation because, much like another team we'll probably get to here in a second, they cannot simply roll this running back room out and think that it's going to find success. So they're either going to be taking a running back here with that last pick in the first, or they're going to trade back, give somebody an opportunity to get up into that, and then take a running back at the top of the second. Could easily be Jadarian Price. So Jadarian Price is a player that I think is really good. I mean, he was kind of overshadowed by Jeremiah Love, the best running back in the country, but in his own right is a very talented back. I don't think he has the same kind of explosion as Love, but at the same time, he's certainly a guy that can contribute right away in the NFL, and more importantly, he'd be the best running back that's healthy on the Seahawks. So that's where I got Jadarian Price right now, sitting at 32 going to the Seahawks.
I think that would be a fun fit for sure. I also, I understand what you're saying about it being a little bit of an open field for being the RB2 in this class. There are definitely some other names of guys that we'll get into in a sec when we talk about some of these other teams, but going for a guy like Price would be pretty cool. He's got very similar size to Jeremiah Love. He has somewhat similar skill sets, not entirely, but he's a very good player in his own right. I think he showed out pretty well at the combine, really established himself in that environment, and it would be really cool to see Seattle take a chance on that. But you brought up his teammate, Jeremiah Love. Where he ends up is going to be the most interesting thing for fantasy purposes when it comes to this rookie class in general. That landing spot is one that you have a pretty creative solution for. It's a problem that we've talked about on this podcast in recent episodes. It's something that we're going to talk about here again. Where do you have Jeremiah Love landing in your most recent mock draft?
Yeah, you got to have some fun with these, right? You can't just do everything the consensus is doing. And then Jeremiah Love to the Titans at 4 seems to be the consensus. But the Titans have a lot of other holes. And more importantly, Titans have some holes at the edge position, pass rusher. And there's just some really, really good pass rushers here sitting at 4. And I think it's too much for the Titans to pass up on an edge rusher to take a running back. So he falls down to 7 to the Commanders. Jeremiah Love going to be a Washington Commander. We talked about this before. I do not think that this room that the Commanders are trotting out is serious. JCM, fine early down plotter. They signed Rashad White to pretty much like a league minimum. They also signed Jerome Ford. Is that correct? This is not a serious NFL running back room, man. It's just not. I'm sorry, it's not. Respect to these guys. You have Jaden Daniels on a rookie contract. You have a build window, and you need to make this offense pop. There needs to be more weapons besides Terry McLaurin, who's I think in his 30s at this point in time. So I just see this as an opportunity for them to put a really good piece, not only a good running back, but a great pass catcher who's explosive. They need this, man. Like, they can't seriously trot out a 30-year-old, 31-year-old Terry McLaurin in that running back room. It's just not happening. I love that they added Chig. Thought that was a good ad. But that's not enough to take this offense to where it needs to be. You know, 2 years ago, they did well for themselves in the playoffs. They're still that team to an extent. 2025 was lost to injury. I'm going Jeremiah Love, number 7, Washington Commanders.
That would be a really fun landing spot for sure. And like you said, they just haven't really done enough. And adding Chigakonkwo, I think, at least does enough to the point that they don't have to take a pass catcher at number 7. And that little flexibility that they have could build one of the scarier offenses in the NFL if that goes down. But another backfield that doesn't necessarily have a roster hole per se, but is one that I identified as something that could end up being a problem sooner rather than later, is with the Minnesota Vikings. Because this is a team that is clearly investing a lot in trying to rebound this coming season. We've already seen them go out and get Kyler Murray to come in and possibly be QB1 for this team. It's going to elevate the entire ecosystem of that offense. Talked about it last week, but I think they still have some room left to improve, particularly with their running backs. Basically, Aaron Jones is getting old. He's entering his age 31 season. He recently restructured his contract to, you know, lower his salary a little bit. And then Jordan Mason, he's only got 1 year remaining on his deal. And then he will walk out the door at 28 years old. They can't go into this season with only those guys in their running back room. I think it would make a lot of sense for them to add somebody that can really add some speed element, somebody that can really pop, who's a little bit of an archetypal difference between what they have in Jones and Mason already. Is this something that you have also given some thought to? Is this a team that could possibly end up drafting a running back? Is this a team that you have mocked taking a running back at all? Lay it on me. What are your thoughts about the running backs in Minnesota?
I mean, spot on, Herms, but not in the first round, not where they're sitting. That's just not where we're going to take a running back. You're not getting Jeremiah Love at 18. I don't think they should move up. At the end of the day, the Vikings need help on the offensive line, and they need help on defense, secondary, defensive line, both big needs. I think this 18 spot that we see the Vikings sitting at is a prime spot to go out and grab some secondary help. There's multiple options. They could take one of the top safeties in the draft. There's some corners that fit the bill. I actually have them kind of taking Emmanuel McNeil Warren, safety out of Toledo. Legitimate first-round talent in size, length. You know, it fills a void left by Harrison Smith, who's likely going to be retiring here. He's very versatile. Flores is going to love that. This is not the spot to take a running back. I think at day 2, the Vikings should absolutely be looking there, but I look at the Vikings' holes as offensive line, secondary, defensive line. And, you know, running back is probably sitting 4th on the pecking order. You know, if you're a Vikings fan and you're listening, please correct me. But I mean, yeah, it's a need. You're right, but we can get that later. The defense, the beef on the offensive and the defensive side of the ball, plus the secondary, needs some love here. That's what they're probably going to go and attack with that first pick. I have them going for the secondary in the first round.
Given the context of what they have to deal with, that is probably the prudent approach. I would think that maybe the interest that they would have would be on day 2 at some point. They do have a couple third round picks, 82nd overall and 97th overall. When I was thinking about players that could possibly be fits here, and also somebody who I think would be really good fit for Seattle, like we were talking about earlier, Mike Washington Jr. from Arkansas, I think he is probably the guy that I have pegged as the RB2 in this class. I think just, dude, that speed and that size, pretty much in whatever offense he lands in, it doesn't necessarily have to be Minnesota or Seattle, but wherever he goes, I think it could be pretty cool. That was sort of the idea that I had floating around in my head. I'm curious if you have any thoughts on that, or if you have any other picks from your mock draft that you would like to highlight before we get out of here.
The Jets, man. The Jets. They got to do something. They got to do something, man. They're in your articles having a hole too, right?
Yeah, I mean, Geno Smith technically counts as solving quarterback, but not really.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's wide receiver, something that they have to attack almost right away here. This is one of those positions where I think to myself, like, all right, they're picking at the top. That's obviously going to be an edge rusher. I mean, they got to rebuild this defense. But if Geno, I mean, is he expected to succeed? I don't really know, but I know you need to add something besides Breece Hall and G Will. I actually went with them going with Omar Cooper Jr., wide receiver at 16. It felt like a little bit of a reach, but at the same time, I kind of looked at the situation, and you need that kind of inside-outside threat who can pair with Garrett Wilson, plays kind of like bully ball, reminds me of almost Deebo Samuel a little bit in the way that he plays. So I think the pieces could start coming together here, and that's like one of the holes I think the Jets could be looking at. Is that going to be great for fantasy? I'm not necessarily certain there, but I do think that that hole needs to be filled, getting more weapons there if we have any expectation of Geno succeeding whatsoever.
Totally. And, you know, this is something they've already tried to do at least a little bit. They picked up A.D. Mitchell in that trade that sent Sauce Gardner over to Indianapolis. They're putting some pieces together, but adding just another receiver into that fold would be transformative for that roster. I almost put the Jets in four pass catchers in this article as well, but one of the things I tried to do was limit it so that only one team was mentioned in one section. They were definitely one of those teams that could have gone in a lot of different places. I also had the Falcons as a team that could have qualified for running back or pass catcher as well. But one more thing I wanted to highlight before we say goodbye, because it was another one of the roster holes that I had highlighted in my article, was thank you, Tyler, for solving the Steelers quarterback problem and giving them Ty Simpson. Because I swear to God, man, if it's Aaron Rodgers again, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I don't know if I can emotionally handle watching another full season of that man running that offense. But if that did happen, hypothetically, do you think Ty Simpson would just sit for the entire year? Or do you think that there would be some possibility of him getting into the fold by season's end? He only had those 15 starts in college, but if it gets bad enough, what are the chances we see Simpson in 2026?
I'm a proponent of rolling these young QBs out as rookies and having them learn drinking from the fire hose, man. You want to get the reps. If you're trying to learn any skill or get better at anything, there's no better way to get better than getting the reps. It might be ugly, but I also think, correct me if I'm wrong here, the Steelers are prepared to maybe have a bad season in 2026, and that might be okay, right? With Tomlin, it was like, yeah, he's going to get us to 500. We're going to win 8 or 9 games. But like, there's not a bright future. There wasn't a bright, you knew you weren't winning a Super Bowl. So it's like, sometimes it, like in Dynasty, you got to tear it down to build it back up. And I think the Steelers are finally, in my opinion, positioned to do that in a way. And I think it's okay. At least I think Steelers fans and the Steelers communities are like, all right, maybe it's okay to win 4 or 5 games in a season. And like, we can start building towards something new. And I think Ty Simpson would signal that. Let's get him under center. Let's get him acclimated. Let's see what this guy has. And then we can decide if he's going to be the quarterback of the future. Worst comes to worst, you get a bad record, you get a top pick. Maybe you try again. But at the same time, to me, it's worth a shot. I don't love Ty Simpson, but at the same time, your options are slim if you're the Steelers. And one thing we know for sure, Herms, is Aaron Rodgers is not the future.
Absolutely not. The sooner we can get out of that, the better. And look, one of the other really fun things is that if they did end up going in that direction, the defense would be able to prop up a young player just fine. I especially liked that signing of safety Jaquan Brisker. But that is all the time we have for today in this episode of the Crossing Routes podcast. If you want to see the rest of the first round mock draft from our good buddy Tyler Rowe, or if you want to check out the other positional holes that I have identified, you can find both articles on ftnfantasy.com. We have all sorts of content coming out on the daily, whether it's fantasy football, fantasy baseball. I know that's coming up. I've had a few drafts this past weekend. It's going to be an absolute blast, and plenty more all there at your fingertips. So until next week, I'm Herms. He is Tyler Rowe, and we are saying goodbye. Staying up and sleeping late, you ever